All right, let's go. All right, let's go. Tim, last night, I know you didn't stay up. I stayed up, and I watched the Edmonton game right till the very end. Kosygin is, I don't know how the...
Koskinen, the goalie.
Koskinen, the goal. They shouldn't even have been in the game. He had 50 shots against him. He really played well. But Draisaitl coming down. For the people that didn't see it, I'm going to describe it, okay? This is my version of it. Now, he's a left-hand shot. I'm sure he's a left-hand shot. Got to be a left-hand shot. He's coming down the right side. He goes about 4 feet, 4 or 5 feet inside Calgary's blue line. He fakes to go to the center, and the defenseman bites. And he went around him, kept on going right in front of the net. You know, like hole in the puck. I thought, when is he going to shoot? And he put it, and it was one of the greatest goals, and a winner goal, and it was for a winner. It looked like Draisaitl said, that's it. I am going to score this goal. And it was one of the greatest goals. I put it in the top five, I tell you.
So was it a backhand when he went in
front?
No,
he's going across. And I didn't think I thought he was almost in the far corner.
He put it right in the net,
boy, and it was a beauty. I'd have to
maybe
say,
that reporter got him going.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about reporters and stuff, is that Draisaitl didn't realize that he did exactly what that reporter wanted him to do. So the reporter got his name on Hockey Night in Canada, his reporter got his name in all the newspapers and all that, and that's exactly what that guy wanted.
You know, I saw the movie Rush, and he was being the guy was who was the guy being?
I can't remember. It was about two F1 drivers, and one got to a
really
bad
good.
Crash. Ron Howard movie. It was a really excellent movie.
And the reporter asked him a question, and the guy answered with the greatest. I wish I had a known something. He said, "Is that a question, or are you just trying to piss me off?" I thought that was the greatest answer of all time. And you said the guy actually said that on.
Yeah, that's what they said. That
was
well,
so
you
good.
Were pretty good, Dad, when it came to telling off reporters that really ticked you off.
There was so many of them.
Though, you know, Dad, the reporters back in your day aren't like today.
No,
like,
I know.
Like today, the reporters, they want to be part of the story. Like that's what
that's true.
Like if you saw that whole clip of that interview, right?
Yeah,
of that thing. He answered that same question. That was about the third time somebody asked the same question.
What are you going to do?
And it was just like he had it. Right?
And he was after a game and he's ticked off and they're not going anywhere and they're going to be a tough time making the playoffs. But
that just reminded me of when you talk about the same question over and over. When the reporters were, you know, around your house when you got fired from Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, that was really sad.
I mean, 5, 6, 7 different interviews at the house, and they were all asking you the same question over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know why, though? Because the reporters now want you to answer the question. They want an answer. If you don't give them the answer that they want,
that's it.
They'll keep asking
you. They were going to badger you until you said, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm pretty.
How many times did they bait you to say you were sorry? And you didn't take the bait because you're a pro at dealing with these reporters.
I've been in interviewed a few times before. Not my first rodeo. I remember Lou would come out of the kitchen.
Well, you were cooking in front of your fireplace, right?
Yeah.
It was getting hot, and
there was so many people there when I got fired. By the way, I think that Jason Bach, he got fired too.
But the guy that fired you got fired.
Oh, the guy that fired you
guy,
is now
the guy
on...
that fired me got fired too. We all get fired at the end.
Maybe Mr. Rogers didn't like him.
I don't know what happened. But anyhow, that was pretty good. And I always, when I see that movie, every time I think of the guy who said, is that a question or you're just trying to piss me off. I think, why didn't I think of that? Well, Tim, I don't know. Brad Marchand, I'd have to say my favorite hockey player, has got a bad shoulder. But Rast is coming back, and Bruins are doing all right. They're hanging tough. But I don't know how they're going to play all these games. Holy smokes.
Yeah, they have, especially the Canadian teams, because, you know, some of them, you know, they didn't want to play when they couldn't play in front of fans, right? Because they said every game in Toronto is like $3.5 million in revenue.
Oh,
just in the ticket sales, let alone the peanuts and the popcorn and beer and everything.
Seems ridiculous, though, to see when you look at down in the States, they're jammed in and the whole deal.
Don't get us going on that.
No, let's not go on that. But I don't know how they're going to play. If you take a look at it, it's Tampa Bay has played 42 games and Ottawa has played 35 games. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. 95 games in the Olympics, you know, in the Olympics.
They blocked off, what was it, 17 days for the Olympics. So now
3 weeks,
So now they're going to try to make up all the games.
95 games they're going to play in 3 weeks.
So, Dad, let me ask you, with traveling, doesn't that take its toll on the players as much as the games do, all that traveling?
Take Winnipeg, for instance. They got to play 10 games in 17 days. How are they going to ever do that?
They said that Winnipeg will probably have to play when they start doing the makeup games every other night for 13 days.
Unbelievable.
What do you, as a coach, do you change your tactics of?
Well, I guess so. There wouldn't be many practices. I tell you that. You'd just have to rest. You'd have to get. What I used to do when we had a lot of games in a row and like that, and we were on the road, I used to have the breakfast. We'd have breakfast. We'd have a meeting because if they don't, they'll sleep in till noon. They get.
Makes sense. They'll sleep in and their whole day gets.
So I get up and I'd have a meeting. I remember with one meeting we had in Chicago, I got everybody up, and and they're all crowded around. We had a big room, and. I remember Jim Petty. Remember Jim Petty?
Oh, yeah. Petty, yeah. We had...
Seaweed.
Yeah, that's right. George Plimpton talked. A couple of weeks ago, we had George Plimpton, and you talked about him.
So he was smoking, eh?
He was a goalie.
He was a goalie, yeah. That's right. I should have said he was a goalie. And he was smoking, and he was kind of kneeling down like smoking, and I was blathering on about some stupid thing, getting ready for the game or something like that. And I said, Seaweed's playing tonight. And they told me after, he fell flat right in his face. Is he kidding? And I think he won the game, dude.
I think so. That was his first game in the NHL. Yeah.
I said, and Seaweed's playing tonight. And I left the room as I was saying it. And he said, he was smoking. He fell straight right down, right down. He said, is he kidding?
You guys always, the Bruins a couple of times had problems in Chicago. Remember one time you said the equipment didn't come or something?
Oh, yeah. I must tell that story. That goes on and on. The equipment went on to San Francisco, and we were sitting in our underwear, and we could hear them having the warm-up. And
so you're at the rink with no equipment.
Yeah, we're at the rink with no equipment. We had the underwear for some reason. I don't know. And they were playing cards down in... I looked in and they were playing cards, waiting for their equipment, and they got the equipment back in time. But we beat them. I never seemed to enjoy. I should have enjoyed myself in Boston. I mean, we very rarely lost.
You enjoyed yourself, Dad. I just don't think you didn't appreciate it.
We didn't appreciate it. You know, you'd win a game and. I don't know.
Just to go back to Edmonton a little bit, we were talking that McDavid didn't look too happy on the bench.
No.
And you said, I don't care how much money he's making.
No, I don't care if you could be making as much money. I see McDavid being tripped out there in front of him.
Last night this is Sunday morning, that Tkachuk whacked him.
Yeah, and whacked him, and he said, "No way, you're diving." And he doesn't dive.
Now, let's say this is 1980, and that's Gretzky.
I got to tell you a story, Tim.
Yeah,
this is a good story. I think it's a good story, anyhow. I was coach of Colorado. We didn't have we had a good team, but we just didn't have a goalie. We won't go into that again. But I remember Gretzky was looking. It was at the blue line. I remember he was looking one way, and Ronnie DeLorme, God love my, just, I love Ronnie DeLorme. He was looking the other way, and they ran it by accident. They were actually coming into the bench.
Unbelievable.
Edmonton was actually coming into the bench because Ronnie DeLorme hit the Gretzky. Now, Gretzky, you touched Gretzky. Semenko was there with whispering in your ear, you touch him again, you're dead, man. Well,
and we just said, if it was Marty or it was Semenko or it was McClellan or it was Messier or it was, you know, you just go down the line.
Why do you think that when Gretzky went to L.A., why do you think he asked, the only guy he asked for was Marty to come along?
Yeah. Marty knew. It's so sad, to think that instigator rule, what was specifically to put in to protect, you know, superstars.
The guys had no idea what they were doing.
They just don't know hockey, and this is what you have. Guys picking on superstars like McDavid.
Okay, let's do it this way. Let's have a guy does a cheap shot, hits a guy in a corner, and goes head first in the boards. And his teammate, his winger, jumps in and grabs the guy, and they have a good fight. The guy that goes in to protect the star, gets 2, 5, and a 10. And the other guy gets 5. It's ridiculous. But there's nothing they can do. And you can say, well, why don't they do something about it now? I mean, there's nothing they can do. They can't take it out.
No, once that genie's out of the bottle, you can't say.
No, you can't.
Because then they'll say, oh, you're promoting violence.
Yeah, so I don't blame them now. But I think we should talk about that. Kent Hughes, you're going to say, who? Kent Hughes is the new general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. And the first question they asked about him, how's he doing in French? Not how much he knows in hockey. He was born in Montreal. Jeff Gordon by the way, is the executive vice president of hockey operations, not the GM, but he is the GM.
Right. He can't, that's the whole thing. Nobody, and the funny thing, you know, I guess you can't say it on TV. They had to get a guy that was going to go and listen to Gordon.
Well, you better listen to him. He was a player agent before. I'll tell you one thing. He's got his hands cut out for him right now. You know that Suzuki is the leading scorer. He's got 7 goals.
Well, Montreal played last night. They played pretty good.
Well,
the guys are
coming back, see. They have the worst power play. They have their last in goals scored. And they're last in the goals against. I mean.
But that isn't, you know, we talked about this before. Is it really fair to, they lost Weber and Price.
I'd say they're going to bounce back next year. I think Price is going to bounce back. Weber, I think, will be back. He'll be back. I hope he'll be back because he's one of my favorite players too. Boy, he's got a cannon from that shot. So I think they're going to bounce back next year in Montreal.
Yeah, but do you think it's fair them saying, oh, how terrible it is when you lose two guys like that, like the two best players? Like if let's say, you know, you saw Boston, they've struggled without Rask.
Yeah.
You know, and take their best player, say take Bergeron out of the lineup, like how much would
Marchand,
how much would they be hurting?
Well, they won last night, and it's going to be tough, but Montreal, I think, will bounce back.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. They're an online casino and sports book. And if you sign up now, they'll use the promo Grapes. They'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel, and they'll spot you $25 for your first bet. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And, Cindy, we just want to thank them for all they did for the Don Cherry Pet Rescue.
We could almost say they're a sponsor of Don Cherry's Pet Rescue.
Well, $18,000, that's pretty good, Cindy, and that'll help a lot of our friends, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, Dad, we were talking the other day that we've been watching Shane Wright. He's a player that we've been watching, plays for Kingston, and is going to go number one. And, boy, there was an awful article on him. And surprisingly, in the Toronto Sun. Sun's usually pretty good, but that was just awful.
Well, they don't make the headlines. And, you know, the kid's name is Wright. So you know somewhere along the line it's going to be wrong. And that was
I just can't imagine his mother reading.
Like headlines, like the headlines were Shane wrong, and
that was a big headline.
Oh, it was full page, and you just like again, like at an 18-year-old kid he's in a little bit of a slump now.
Yeah,
but you know, Dad, that when we went and we watched kids like a guy like Shane Wright, he's been watched by OHL and NHL scouts since he's been like 13 or 14 years old. After a while, you start to pick his game.
You've said that so many times before. When the guy is number one, you start picking him apart. Oh, he doesn't do this.
Look, we did that to McDavid. Well, you know, he walked around that guy, but he could have gone a little bit faster, you know, and all that.
And the worst thing of all is when a guy would say he reminds me of Bobby Orr. you go there and you see the kid, you know, the kid's good, but he's no Orr.
Well, I think what happened too was he was. They only played two games in the World Juniors, and he got off to a bit of a slow start, and then they started putting him on the wing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's a center, and then they put him on wing, and he just didn't get going.
Well, I know one thing. If I'm picking number one, I'm picking him, and I'll tell you one thing, boy.
But I said, you know, it's either going to be Phoenix, Buffalo, or Montreal is going to pick first.
Montreal wouldn't be bad because
but the pressure on the kid though. If he's 18 years old and he's got to go to Montreal, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
If you're his parents, wouldn't you want to put him in a city that he?
Well, you could
have
go to Arizona and never be heard of again, like Chikrin.
Yeah, but it'd be nice weather down there, and.
If you want, if that's what you want, and I think that kid, I think he'd like to go to Montreal.
Really? Well, it'd be a lot of pressure on him. But I got to tell you, like, you know, talking about first picks and stuff, I got to tell a quick funny story. And it was 2005 when I was working with the OHL, and John Tavares, we used to go down and see him play all the time, Toronto Marlies, and he was 14 years old. So he wanted to get drafted he wanted to be the first special exemption so he could be 15 years old drafted. So it was the night before the draft, and in the morning, the OHL said, no, you can't, you're not eligible. And Oshawa had the first pick. So they were going to pick Logan Couture, and he was kind of the consensus number one. He was the number one pick. So, but that evening before, the OHL changed their mind and said, you can pick him if you want, like he's eligible. So, and then what happened was, the way it kind of works is the first... Everybody knows who's going to be the first pick because they do. And then the team that's picking second, they commit to the next guy. And the third guy, they commit. So the first three guys, everybody kind of knows who's doing. So to the credit of the other teams, well, Logan Couture was available, but they committed to another player, so they took the other player.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of free fell to 12th. And so we're sitting there, and we're just saying, I can't believe nobody's picking up Logan Couture. Like, he's the number one guy. And so the Sioux was picking 11th. We thought, well, for sure they're taking him. They took Jake Muzzin, who played for Toronto, right? So that was a good pick.
Good pick.
So it was Brian Kilroy in Ottawa's pick. Pick 12. So, and this time it was on. By this time it was on the internet and on the phone. And I think Brian Kilroy comes on and says, the Ottawa 67s are pleasantly, egos are very happy and pleasantly surprised to be able to pick Logan Couture. So after the draft, what we do is we call the kids and the parents to say congratulations. Right. Now, nobody wanted to call Logan's dad because we knew he was going to be mad. So the oldest, the most senior scouts says, well, I'll call. So he calls up and so we're all listening. And he goes, listen, I know Mr. Couture is very disappointing. I know things didn't work out. And he's, things didn't work out. And then the scout hung up the phone. And he says, I'd like to reach through the smoke and smack that guy. He says he should get on his knees and thank God he's going to Brian Kilroy.
Who put more guys in the National League.
That's what he says. He put more guys in the National Hockey League than anybody, and he's going there. And he says, and Oshawa's having a bit of a tough time at the time. He says, that gong show in Oshawa at the time. And he says, I can't believe it. And sure enough, he goes, and he ends up getting drafted in the NHL. And he's made, $100 million. And so it... You know, I think it hurts at some point, but...
Well, don't pay any attention. You can't pay any attention to the headlines, and you watched... If I was picking, I would pick I would pick for sure.
But and the other thing with the guys that we talked, that we saw, Dad, was Spencer Martin played the first game for Vancouver, yeah, the goalie.
Best goalie I ever saw in the
minor midgets. Yeah, he played for the junior Canadians, and he played Florida and lost in a shootout. And he's, you know, like, I was, well, we're watching this, and you and I were talking. You said, you wonder if Edmonton doesn't try to get him. He could be another Jordan Binnington.
He could be,
because he was one of the best that we've seen at that age.
Okay, Dad, every Sunday I stop into Tim Hortons and get us a coffee to come here. And you went to training camp with Tim Hortons, didn't
I
you?
I certainly did. Well, and I was a minor leaguer, and it didn't matter one way or another. And I remember him driving up in one of his fancy cars. And I was standing on the corner in front of the Empress Hotel with three guys that played with Rochester a year before. Shaky Walton, Jimmy Pappin, and Peter Stemkowski. And they were playing for the Leafs now. That's the only reason I was talking. And he got out of the car and he says, you know, I would like to go up and just get a donut and a coffee. And he says, you know, and I'd bake the donuts. They laughed at him. And they thought it was funny. You're going to wonder where were those funny hats. And I didn't say anything. I was just a minor leaguer, like I said. I was just standing there. And they made fun of him, by gall.
As you say, hockey players aren't too smart sometimes.
Yeah, and
look at the stores now. They're even in, Tim, you were even saying they're in China now.
Yeah.
My wife a couple years ago was in Shanghai. There was a Tim Hortons there. And I said, what was it like? She says, well, it's a lot more Canadian than it is here. She says they had a big coffee, big Tim Hortons with a big maple leaf outside. And the doors to get in were hockey sticks.
Oh, yeah.
And there was all Canadian kind of.
I bet you they even had a picture of Tim Hortons, not like the ones the stores
here. Well, they
had
hockey players. I don't know if they had a picture of Tim Horton. But I think for the one thing, Dad, that people don't realize was that he could really, like, he was a real Russian defenseman. Like, he could really go with the puck.
And he was one of the strongest guys I ever saw. And he could, and he did rush. The only thing is, when he got to the blue line, he didn't do much, didn't score many goals. But he was a good defense partner, and Alan Stanley was his partner, and he played with Bobby Bond.
Yep, so he played with Bobby Bond, and we had Bobby on the Grapevine Show, and he talked about Timmy Horton, and this is just an incredible story how Tim Horton saved Bobby Bond's life.
Hard to believe, but listen to this.
I remember Timmy Horton. Like I said, I was one of those guys that in the minors, I came for a couple, and then I went back to Siberia. But I remember standing out in front, and you guys were all talking to him there, and he had that beautiful cars. He always had big, beautiful cars all the time. And you guys were asking him, well, what are you going to do? And he failed, I think, at the hamburgers or something.
He had a problem with the hamburgers.
Yeah, well, it failed, but it didn't go over very good.
No, I loaned him $10,000 at that time.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You're rich. But he says, I'm going to get in the bakery. Remember that?
Right.
What was it? Donuts and coffee. How funny, eh? That's why hockey players never said we were very bright, I'll tell you that. So... But you loved Timmy Horton. He was your buddy, wasn't he?
He really was. When he had that dreadful accident early on in his career, with Gadsby had hit him that particular night. But I was his gopher back then. I used to work at the sand and gravel pit and had his leg in a cast.
Well, Bill hit him, broke his jaw and his leg in the same hit.
In the same time, yeah.
You told me a story one time. We were having a pint one time that he saved your life one time.
Well, coming out of the old Madison Square Gardens on 48th Street, Madison was on 49th and St. Clair Hospital was just in between there. And this particular night, I fell on Camille's Henry's skate, and it went up underneath my throat here, and this was in the middle of the second period. And I finished out the second period. I had it stitched up and then finished out the second period, and it was bothering me a little bit. So by the time I got changed and went out in the bus and waited for the guys to come out of the bus, and after the game was over, Tim usually ran down and had a beer at the local pub and then head out to the plane. Well, by this time, this cut had hemorrhaged and it pushed my tongue back down my throat, and I'd gone out and passed out on the 48th Street in New York City, and Tim had just luckily had come back. And so he carried me into St. Clair Hospital right there. And they had to do a tracheotomy at that particular time to relieve the pressure and get get me breathing again. Whew, so
he saved your life.
He really did.
I tell you one thing. He was one of the strongest guys I ever saw. And Bobby Bond tells the story. They got in a little trouble in Quebec.
Tell us about the strength of this guy. They talk about guys in the National Hockey League strong now. Tell us about a few things. Well, not breaking the doors down and all that.
Oh, I wouldn't tell you that.
He was a
man, well, he could go through more doors than any man in the country.
He was a door breaker down of a hotel of all time. But he was awful strong.
He was
guy. Awesome.
I guess the greatest, just to tell you, he had sat in his family room and curl 150 pounds all night long, just while he's watching television for something to do. And
boy.
And he wouldn't stop. You know, it was amazing. But I think his greatest feat of strength that we saw was one afternoon in Quebec City after we'd played our opening exhibition game there. And we decided that we wanted to barricade Quebec City up and close all the traffic down.
Sounds like hockey players out there, a few motions.
But there had been some construction going on, and there was big, huge buckets of broken up cement. Well, we got Timmy to move these big buckets of cement in behind the barricade, and it's just like Queen and Yonge Street in Quebec City. And on Sunday, it's pretty lively in Quebec City, as you know. And We managed to get all four corners barricaded and had traffic backed up 4 miles either way. By the time they got us out of the city, they had to bring a front-end loader in to move the cement buckets
that Timmy had put there.
And then Timmy was in jail, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, they finally got an aircraft in to fly us out, and we finally got out of Quebec City. But we had a conference call with Punch, the mayor, and the premier of the province, and the police chief.
Sounds like my type of guy.
And you know, Tim, Buffalo and Toronto retired his numbers, and like I said, he won 3 Stanley Cups. I don't know, he might have won 4, and he was the strongest guy I ever saw.